You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
Man, what an incredible sight. I've got the best view in the house. Isn't that awesome? I get to see the family of North Monroe all together for once, finally, right? How cool is that? And it's just an incredible thing to be in this place and to be participating in what we're participating in, and just the view, and just to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. And speaking of views, there's a kind of a weird view out your window, and a lot of you guys have asked, what's up with the dirt? Let me tell you what's going to happen out there. That hill to the left is going to have three crosses on it to remind us of Calvary. And the hill to the right is going to be just a hill that there'll be a little path around behind it. And there'll be a little bench between those two hills where people can go and sit and pray and do whatever. And there'll be a little dry creek running alongside of it, a little bridge. We had a family in our church who had lost a loved one who loved this church and who had really invested in North Monroe and had just a great desire to be a part of this today, but God had called him home. The family said, we want to be a part in a different kind of special way as well. And so they're doing that whole thing. How cool is that? And that's going to be a great view when it finally comes. Man, I've got to tell you, normally you don't do grand openings the weekend before Thanksgiving, okay? That's just, you know, churches are like rubber bands. They expand and they relax, and this is kind of a relaxed time of the year. We're going into the holiday season. You normally don't do this at Thanksgiving because so many people are traveling, so many people are out. But, you know, I can't think of a better time to get together and to dedicate a building because we have so much to be thankful for. And we've got so many people that we want to be thankful for. People who invested a tremendous amount of time and energy into this facility and into what we're doing. It really all started with the Long Range team. And I love the vision of the Long Range team. I went to them back in 08, 09. And I said, guys, we're getting too crowded. We got to have some room. I need 500 seats. They said, yeah, okay. We need to buy that 11 acres on 165. I said, wait, that's not 500 seats, and you can't put anybody on that. We need seats, man. They said, yeah, well, if you don't buy that land right now, you're not going to need any seats. And the vision and forward thinking of those guys in that moment, they said, we've got to look bigger. Preacher, you're not looking big enough. And they said, we've got to be willing to reach out in ways that you can't imagine. And so I just kind of shut up and let them go. And man, they not only bought that, they put the road in, they did all this other stuff. I'm telling you, it was an incredible forward-thinking group of people. And I want to recognize our Long Range team. And if I forget your name or if I didn't get it written down properly, it's been a while. You stand up anyway, okay? But let me name these names, and I want us to give you thanks. Bob Bozeman, Monty Chapman, Sharon Evans, Greg Green, Denise Gillette, Kenneth Halley, Doug Hinton, John Hunter, Chuck McCullen. I believe it was Chuck the one going, you need 11 acres. I think Chuck was the one pushing that. Richard, I can't remember, you know, I've slept since then. Richard Runnels, Blake Shelby, and Joey Young. Anybody I miss, if you're on the Long Range team, would you stand up and let's say thank you to them? We appreciate so much you guys doing that. We went back and forth. We tried everything. We said, should we remodel? We looked at that. No, let's try multi-venue. We did that. It didn't seem to really do what we needed to do. We tried multiple services, multiple life groups. We went around the world trying to make this thing work without building a building. And finally, we came back, and I had about 10 ideas. I said, here's our ideas. We can meet on Sunday afternoon. We can meet on Saturday evening. We could do this. We could do that. And finally, somebody in the group of the Long Range said, these are all just Band-Aids. We've got to do what we need to do to make sure this church is what it is for the future generations. And so they decided in that moment that it was time to go forward with a building, and they pulled together a building team. And I got to tell you, The building team was forward thinking. The kind of facility you're sitting in right now is the kind of facility you'll see in Dallas or Houston or Los Angeles, places like that. There's nothing like this in Louisiana. There's nothing like this that I know of in towns our size. And it's just incredible how visionary the building team was. So I want to recognize them too. If you were on the building team, Scott Ashbrook, Bob Bozeman, Blake Davis, Andrew Dye, Warren Eckhart, Tom Gillette, John Hunter, Bill Lee, Glenn McAdams, Kelsey McCrary, Jody Pickett. I know he's not here. Traitor. Adams Rogers, Mike Smith, Joey Young, Chuck Poole, Emily Bird, and Steve Traxler. If you were on the building team and I missed, even if I missed your name, would you stand up and let us say thank you to you? You guys did. Did they do an incredible job? Incredible job. And let me tell you, there was a lot of long hours and a lot of planning and a lot of looking, because the goal was to build a facility that would seat the most people for the least amount of money. And you can't believe some of the decisions that were made that saved incredible amounts of dollars on that and the people that went into it. But they decided the cheapest way to do it and the best way to do it was a design build process. And what that means is typically when you do a facility, you'll go out, have an architect draw it, then they'll submit the plans to various builders and they'll build it. And that tends to run the cost up. But if you do a design build, the builder's involved with the architect from the very beginning, and he's value engineering the facility even as he's working. And so they solicited proposals from three different companies, architect, builder combined. And from that, they decided to go with Architects Plus and Steve Traxler. And it was a great decision because those guys did a great job. And I want to recognize Architects Plus and Joe Cassier and Ken Irwin and all the others that work with Architects Plus. Are you guys here? I think they're in the riser somewhere. Y'all stand up so we can see y'all. Stand up. Dustin, I'll get back to you in a second. You guys killed it. Great job. I mean, just a great job with design. Speaking of design, we had a design team working with the architects, and the lead design on the Architects Plus side was Dustin Gibbs. And Dustin's already stood up once, but he's going to have to stand up again. And he was the guy with the carpet swatches and the colors and all this other stuff. But we had people from our church, very small group from our church, working with him. Kelsey McCrary, Emily Bird, and Blake Davis. Was there anybody else in that design thing that I missed? If you worked on the design team, would you stand up, because we really owe you a thanks for all your work, too. You guys stand up. There's only four of you, and I mean, what an incredible job. And then there's Traxler Construction. And, you know when we finished this building? Yesterday, what, Steve, about five or six? For real? They were putting stuff in the risers yesterday. And that's what they did. I don't know if you remember when we came in the first time and we wrote our scripture verses on the studs. And now, I mean, how cool is that, knowing that those prayers and those people and those names and those verses that you wrote, they're still here. But before we did that, it rained real hard the night before. Do you remember that? And Steve Traxler, the head of Traxler Construction, had his boys out here with blowers, and we all kind of show up and we're trying to blow the water off the slab. Let me tell you, most general contractors don't go to that level. And at every level, they've gone over and above to try to make this thing exactly what it needed to be. And I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate Steve and Timmy and Jeff and all you guys that kind of oversaw the project. If you were involved in Traxler and overseeing the project, would you guys stand up? I know Steve's over here, some of you guys around. Thank you so much. Timmy was here every day running this deal. But you know, builders are only as good as the subs, right? And I don't have a list of every single sub that worked on this building, and probably wouldn't have time to recite it if we had it. You know, some of the subs that really just I tried to get to know as we went through. The Joe Banks crew was incredible. Trio Electric was unbelievable, just in going above and beyond. And Todd and Joey, thank you all so much. Mike Smith, all the tile work. I'm not supposed to say this, but he did it. He did it no charge to the church. Tile work, yeah. And all the other subs. Summit came in from Colorado, put in the light and sound. But if you worked as one of the subs, would you stand right now so we can say thank you for what you did? I see John was here painting. I mean, it's just incredible. Thank y'all. You did an awesome job. And it's just been amazing to watch. One last group I want to recognize today. You know, something like this takes money, right? A lot of money. And we've been giving to Daring Faith. And let me say this. Thank you for giving to Daring Faith. And thank you for being faithful to our church. Because we can't reach people without a place for them to sit. And they can't have a place to sit unless we give to make that. I tell people all the time, if we lived in Africa, we wouldn't worry about all this. Because you can sit under a tree with a tarp. Because they're used to that. And they walk to church. They don't need parking lots and all that. But we're not there. We're here. And Americans live a different way. And so we do what we have to do to reach people. And you guys have been faithful. And let me say, please continue to be faithful to Daring Faith and to giving and to support so that we can get this thing paid for. We're hoping to get this thing paid for as quickly as possible so that we can really pour money into people. We don't want to pour money into buildings. And so please continue that. But, you know, to do a project like this, you require some additional outside funding. And let me just say this. The people in finance that have been working with the banks with us have just done an amazing job. Iberia Bank has been our lender, and Kerry Davis has been the key point guy there, and I think Iberia is here today. And Iberia, if y'all are here, would y'all stand up and just let us say thank you for being, I mean, just so helpful in every way. I wanted to bring those up, and I know I forget people. I'm always scared to start recognizing people because I always leave people out. But if you had any part in it, just let me say thank you for all that you guys have done in making this day possible. Because it takes a lot of people to do big things. It takes something like 300 people to volunteer just to work hospitality. It takes crazy numbers of people just to work the nursery, just so that the kids are taken care of. And each of us works together, and together we're better, and we can do so much more than we can do by ourselves. And that's what this facility demonstrates. And so we want to dedicate this building through prayer, not to our own personal comfort and convenience, but to what it's going to do. Not even to what it's doing right now, what it's going to do. So can we pray together? Father, you've blessed us with a facility that is just unbelievable. I mean, it handles people. It's attractive. It's a place where we can worship. Large numbers can come, and we can reach more people than ever. And this is your building. It doesn't belong to any of us. And it's only here because other people sacrificed before us. The people who had vision to even start this church and do what had to be done. And so God, we want to add our brick to this cathedral. And we want to thank you for letting us be a part of this project. And God, we want this facility, like all these other buildings around this campus, to reach people. Whatever it takes, that those who are without faith in Christ and those who are lost and struggling with guilt and shame and direction and purpose and significance, God, that they would come to a place like this, and in a transparent and authentic way, we would demonstrate to them the light of Jesus Christ. And that they would fall under the Word, and through that, the Word working in harmony with the Spirit would bring truth and transformation into their lives. Father, let that be done here. And we we commit this place to you for that purpose, and that purpose alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving is a great time, isn't it? Because it reminds us to be thankful, not just of those who worked on this particular project, but for everything that we have. You know, it started with the Pilgrims, right? And everybody knows about the Pilgrims. I'm hoping that in our textbooks we're still teaching that. Sometimes I wonder. But Thanksgiving is directly tied to a group of separatist English Baptists who came here seeking religious liberty. But I don't know if you know their backstory and the faith and the sacrifice and the legacy that they gave to us that goes far beyond this national holiday called Thanksgiving. It really started with a handful of people worshiping in the late 1500s in England, particularly at a little town called Scrooby, England. And they were gathered there in what was called the Scrooby Manor. House is still there today. Under the postmaster who was allowing people to worship in his home. William Brewster was an important man. And that drew attention to their little crowd because the church in England and the English government was cracking down on what they were calling these fringe groups. What was fringe about the Puritans? I mean, about the separatists? Well, here's what was fringe about them. They believed in personal conversion. They believed in the authority of Scripture. They believed that every person comes to faith in Christ, comes into a relationship with Christ by faith alone. That every church is autonomous to make its own decisions about their belief and practice. Those are the kinds of fundamental things these folks believe. Persecution begins to happen against them. They move to Leyden, Holland. And while they're in Leyden, Holland, because they don't know the language, they're forced to endure the very menial labor. Their kids are losing the English language. And somewhere along the way, somebody gets the idea there's freedom in America. Only it wasn't the kind of America you know now. It was more like going to another planet. It was a wilderness. They decided to go, and they loaded up on two ships originally. One couldn't make it, so they piled together, crammed together 102 people on the Mayflower. 65 days between the decks, and you could fit the whole Mayflower, I think, on this stage. That's how small that boat was. 65 days on the ocean. They get there, and right before they're going to disembark, there were some believers and non-believers in that group of pilgrims. They weren't all church members. And the non-believers had decided that they were going to strike out on their own and they were going to do their own thing. Brewster and Bradford and Carver got together. And man, in just one of those brilliant moments, they said, no, we need to draw up a crude constitution. We call it the Mayflower Compact. And in that Mayflower Compact, they wrote out how they were going to govern themselves. And essentially, the key elements were these. That believers and non-believers would live together in harmony under a common rule of law. And the key feature was all decisions would be made by democratic vote. That was radical. Now, years later, guys like Jefferson took the foundation laid by the Plymouth Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact. And they worked that into what we know today as the Constitution of the United States of America. But I'm telling you right now, the seeds of that thing were sown on the Mayflower before they disembarked. And let me say this. Had it not been for the courage and wisdom and faith of those pilgrims, I can't guarantee you that any of us would be sitting here right now. Because I can't guarantee you we'd be living in a democracy, and I can't guarantee you that we would have had free exercise of religion. That goes directly back to that group of people laying that foundation. And when Jefferson and those other guys, Franklin and those guys, Adams, they were involved in forming that original government, they were under the influence of key spiritual leaders like Cotton Mather's and John Wesley and George Whitefield and men like Jonathan Edwards, who had really transformed the very flavor of American life. And we owe a tremendous debt to those people. And I say all of that to let you know that what we know of as church today has been a long progress passed down through the years. And every generation has to build upon the foundation that was laid before. And that's always been true. Somebody said one time, when the people who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Well, I would add to that, when we forget to be thankful, number one, we don't appreciate what has been given, and number two, we don't understand the responsibility to give. You see, nothing's ever done in isolation. And these things don't happen suddenly through the efforts of one or two people. One thing is always built upon another. If you've ever played with Legos, you get it. You got to build that foundation, and then you build upon that, and build upon that, and build upon that. That was true of us as a nation. Listen, it's true of us as a church. In the late 1950s, these subdivisions out here on North Monroe along 165 were beginning to jump up. The North Monroe subdivision, Treasure Island, Town and Country. And they were starting to fill up with these young families. And there were three guys living up here among these young families who attended church. One of them attended at Parkview. The other two attended at College Place. They played dominoes together. North Monroe was founded around a domino table. Did y'all know that? Max Dillingham, Alton Houston, Charles Weidert. They were sitting around seeing all these young families out here, and they said, you know what? These young families aren't going to church. We need a church out here that they'll go to. And so they felt the need to plant a church up here on the north end of town. Charles Weidert was a member of Parkview. So he went to Parkview and he said, hey, would you guys like to sponsor a church? They said, we got too much debt right now to be a part of that. We're going to have to pass. Dillingham and Houston, they went down to College Place. That's where they were members. Now, their pastor there was a guy named T. Earl Ogg. Y'all remember T. Earl Ogg? And he had a great heart for missions. And so when Max and Houston asked for help with this church on the north end, T. Earl Ogg said, I'm going to get my deacons to donate $10,000 to build you guys a building. And he did. Let me say this. Let me just pause. North Monroe might not be here if it wasn't for T. Earl Ogg. Did y'all know that? Ramsey, are you here? Is Ramsey here? Ramsey Ogg. Ramsey, stand up, would you? That's T. Earl's son. We owe your family. We owe his family. Max and Alton have gone to be with the Lord, but Charles Weidert, yesterday, here in Monroe, buried his beautiful bride of 63 years. They've been living in the Woodlands. They came back for the funeral to bury her here. Charles is here this morning. One of the three that started this church. Charles, where are you? Somebody find him for me. There he is right there. Thank you. You know what Charles told me this morning? He had already told Warren this. He said, we never built a building at North Monroe for ourselves. He said, every building we ever built was for the people that weren't even there yet. He said that, not even knowing what I'm talking about this morning. Because that's the core values of this church. And there were people. How many was it, Charles? 30? About 30, 32 people. They started out 1961. They moved into their church. I think it was September the 11th when their first meeting. Katie was the women's Bible study teacher. And it says in the history notes, Katie, Charles's wife, taught them from marriage to grave. Isn't that cool? We only have three charter members left besides them. Herbert Manley is here somewhere. Where are you, Herbert? Herbert's here. Herbert, stand up. Bugs newcomer's not here, I don't think, but I'm hoping she's listening on radio. And Jack Taylor, where are you? Jack, there he is. Those guys are charter members. They were a part of that first 32. Thank you guys for what y'all have done. I'm bringing this up not to get historical, but to remind you that what happens in a body doesn't happen all at once. And it's not anybody's individual effort. In 1973, there was a pastor and his wife named Ralph Jones who showed up at North Monroe, right? And Ralph Jones took a church that was in turmoil and he leveled it. And he gave it a foundation and a base and a stability as he spent, was it 12 years or 14 years? 16 years? And Ralph is not with us now, but his wife at that time and his son John are. Would y'all stand, Jonelle and John, the family of Ralph Jones? And that's just the way this thing works. They paid the bills, they carried the load, they dreamed the dream, they planned, they sweated, they struggled, they sought to reach the community, and they laid the foundation. And let me say, there would be no North Monroe without people like that. And I'm looking around, seeing all the people that have come just after that, and people who've made such an important impact on this. One name in particular that I'm thinking of went to heaven last night. Name is Don Beach. And Don was a part of every building since the first building is the Whitlock Realty building up here. That was originally North Monroe. Every building in this church since that time. But he's represented, isn't he? Because his steel company that he later sold to John Hunter and others put the steel in this room. And John would have loved to be a part. Don would have loved to be a part of it. And there's others I can't mention. You know, Jim Hutchison went to be with the Lord this year. Jim was all up in everything. My personal helper since I was here was Clarence Geis, and Clarence would have loved to see this day. Why am I bringing all this up? It's not to be historical. It's to remind us we build on a foundation that other people have laid, and we got to remember that and be thankful. Because here it is, thankfulness reminds us to appreciate what other people have done. And this is so important because it wasn't just them doing it, it was God working through them doing it. That's why the Bible says, Psalm 103 verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." Because when we forget to recognize, and when we forget to recognize, we don't get a glimpse of the bigger picture. And here it is. You are part of something bigger than you. Hebrews 11 talks about the giants of faith. You know, we call it God's Hall of Fame. Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those guys. But as he gets down to the bottom, he's kind of like a preacher running out of time, right? And so he says, I don't have time to talk about everybody. Hebrews 11, 32, what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection, others experienced mockings and scourgings and yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill treatment. Now look at this, verse 38. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. You get the picture? And here's the part I wanted you to see. Look at verse 39. All these, having gained approval through their faith, now look, read this, did not receive what was promised. In other words, all these people were working for something that they would not benefit from. Look at verse 40. Because God had provided something better for us. See that? So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. What we do completes what they started. They planted a shade tree that you and I are now sitting under. We harvest a crop we didn't sow. We're reaping a field we didn't water. And can you imagine how tragic it would be if we forgot all that? You see, we have been given so much. Luke 12:48. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. When someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And let me just say this, and you can be sure of this. If you succeed without struggle, you can be assured someone else struggled for your success. That's just true. You and I are just part of this. We play a part. We can't forget that. Here's the other side. You ready? It's not about you. I've got that on my door going out of my office. It's not about you. We want to constantly be reminded. It's in 1 Corinthians, the people had kind of, you know how people get. They had kind of gathered around various popular speakers, you know. And some were saying, I'm of Paul. And others, I'm of Apollos. And some were saying, I'm of Peter. And some were saying, we're of Christ. You know, that was the holy roller. They were more spiritual than everybody. And Paul kind of wades into this and he drives his point home. He says in chapter 3, verse 5, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Who's responsible for this? It's not Paul. It's not Apollos. God causes the growth. This is God's building. This is a God thing. Look at verse 7. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth. Look, I know we say it like this, but this isn't your church. I know sometimes you'll say, oh, North Monroe's my church. I get it. That's okay. Don't freak out about that. But it's not. It's not my church. Don't say that's Bill Dye's church. That's not my church. This church belongs to the Lord. I'm just here for a while, man. I'm just here doing a part. You and I play a part. It's not about us. The church is the body of Christ. Have you heard that before? We are the body of Christ. You know what's cool about that? That's such a powerful picture for me because the individual cells are not the body. Individual cells come and go, right? Somebody told me one time that because you are constantly replenishing cells, that every 7 years you're a completely new person. Kind of freaks you out, doesn't it? Well, it's not exactly true, okay? I looked it up. The neurons on our cerebral cortex are never replaced, so they're always with you. That's not a good thing. Because when you lose them, they're gone. And some cells replace more quickly than others. For example, skin cells only last 2 to 4 weeks. Red blood cells last about 4 months. Colon cells have it rough. They only last 4 days. And it takes 10 years to completely reproduce your skeleton. I got to thinking about this. I'm on my 5th skeleton. I'm hoping my 6th skeleton's going to be skinnier and better looking. We are constantly being reproduced. We're constantly changing. And what that means is it's not about me. It's not about any individual cell. It's about the body. But the cool thing is I get to be a part of something way bigger than myself. I get to be a part of the kingdom of God and what God wants to do, not only in this place, but around the world. And when we're thankful, we appreciate that, and we recall and we remember what has been done, right? We get to be part of something big, but it's not about us. As sales, we still have a lot to do, and we're important, and God is constantly using us, and each cell is vital to the body. I mean, somebody with cancer will tell you how important an individual cell is. You're important, you're vital, but it's not about you. And the cool thing is, that means you get to be a part of something bigger than yourself. When you're thankful, you realize that. When you're thankful, you were responsible. I love how Paul puts it. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, God causes the growth. You notice how things work. Sometimes the work of ministry is plowing. Charles, you guys did some plowing. Sometimes it's sowing. Sometimes it's fertilizing. And sometimes we harvest. Imagine how sad it would be if somebody went out and cleared the land for you, and then he left that land to another guy who plowed it and broke the soil and rode it into rows. And then another guy planted. And then another guy invested all the time and energy to put the irrigation system in and all the diesel that was required to water those crops. And now it's time to harvest. How sad would it be if those of us who should be running the combine are laid up on the couch watching, you know, reruns of Leave It to Beaver or playing Fortnite all day long? How sad would that be? You see, the other side of this thing is when we're thankful, we realize we've got a responsibility. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. He who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. The guy that waters isn't responsible for the harvest, but the guy that harvests is. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another's building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. And then he switches metaphors from farming to construction. My job is to take what's been given and move that ball forward. I'm working right now for the benefit of people that aren't even here yet. And sometimes that means that I'm going to plant a shade tree that I will never sit under. Are you willing to do that? You see, that's what it means to be thankful. And you know why I do that? Because I'm sitting under a shade tree somebody else planted. And I'm enjoying and benefiting from them. Here's an interesting thing. When Charlie Wired and Alton Houston and Max Dillingham got the vision for North Monroe Baptist Church, that was sometime in the early part of 1960, September of 1960, I think. I was 1 year old. They were building a church and preparing a pulpit for a one-year-old whose family didn't even attend a Baptist church and who lived 400 miles away. We have no idea what God wants to do in this place. We have no understanding of the people that are going to come here and the lives that will be changed and the generations that will be reached. And when we're thankful, we recall what God has done. We understand our place in that moment. This isn't my pulpit. This is a pulpit that I'm going to borrow for a while, and then I'm going to hand it to someone else. And I hope he does a better job than I did. That's not your seat. Not yet, you think. That seat belongs to somebody that's not even here yet. And our calling is to be grateful for what's been done so that we'll be responsible with what's to be done. And God has given us that great privilege. What an honor. And for all of that, I'm thankful. God saved me. He adopted me into this awesome family. Gave me a heritage, a legacy with people I've never even met, and gave me a purpose and a significance and something that I can give the rest of my life to. I mean, what is better than sinking your life into the needs of people, of going out there and helping somebody who's lost and covered up in guilt and shame and struggling with purpose and significance, what's better than going out and investing in that person's life, seeing them come to faith in Jesus, bringing them into the family of God, and then growing them up in the righteousness of Christ so that they can go out and help other people find Jesus just like that? That's what it's all about. And truthfully, some of you are here today right now because somebody did that for you, aren't you? And maybe right now in this place, you realize there's been an investment made and I need to pick up that investment and receive that gift. You know, the Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And that giving meant to be given over completely. He gave Jesus over to death on the cross to fully atone for all the sins we've ever done, all the sins we do, and all the sins we'll ever do. And the Bible says the only thing I have to do in response to that is believe and receive. If you've never done that, come join the family. Get your life changed right here today. Wouldn't that be awesome? Would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the investment made by so many people, not only for this facility, but for people who invested in us as a nation, and for those who have invested in North Monroe from the very beginning. Guys like Ralph Jones and Charles and Don Beach and so many others we can't even name. And Father, I pray that when our turn comes, that we'll have the same willingness. I planted, Paulus watered, but you caused the growth. And Father, we dedicate this building to you as a place for the people we don't even know. But Father, I pray for those that are here right now in this place that they need a home. They need to belong. They need their lives to be changed. And through just being in this place and around these people, they realize this is what I've been looking for. God, give them the courage to take that next step and seek someone out so that they can talk about it and give their lives fully to you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.